I don't say that I have a sermon prepared for you. I don't know that I'm going to preach. I may preach. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. I have a message, a word from the Lord, that the Lord placed in my heart. And I want to share it with you this morning because I believe that it is a timely message. A timely message. It is a message that I believe the Lord is speaking to his people. And if we will have ears to hear, may we hear what he's saying. Amen? So the title of the message this morning is Wake Up. Wake up. Wake up. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1 and 2 says, Wake up. Wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem. For unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. This year has been a year of attack. Never has it been more obvious that there is an all-out war on the church. The kingdom of darkness is bombarding the kingdom of God with wave after wave of attacks. For many, this has led to frustration, depression, anger, and fear. Relationships have been strained as differing points of view have separated close friends. Families have felt the weight of the mental and emotional burden of constant close proximity. Our financial setbacks and of social isolation. Our churches and schools and other places of social gathering have been closed while crowds of people fled the streets with protests and riots. Our city, state, and federal government systems have been overwhelmed as proponents of socialism, communism, and Marxism seek to overturn our democracy while hiding behind the banner of equal justice. The vast majority of the vulnerable are mindlessly being led astray by trending slogans and emotional propaganda. Evil has disguised itself as good by using misleading names for their organizations and movements in order to hide their true agendas. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. The greater tragedy is that there are spiritual leaders who know the truth, and yet they have sold their soul for the promise of relevancy. Just as Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world if he would kneel before him and worship him. These spiritual leaders have chosen to bend the knee to demonic forces in exchange for popularity and fame. Are you awake yet? Are your eyes open yet? Wake up! Open your eyes. The global pandemic and ensuing financial crisis has been capitalized upon by many nations to extend unprecedented powers to governments. Individual liberties and God-given rights have been stripped away and trampled upon for the sake of the greater good. Misleading headlines, skewed data reporting, and false narratives have been utilized to paint a dire picture in an attempt to keep the public captivated by panic and fear. All of this reveals to us that they are either utterly incompetent or absolutely diabolical. You be the judge. Are you awake yet? Are you awake yet? The prophet Isaiah shouted out, "Wake up! Wake up!" Israel was in a state of confusion. Her leaders were corrupt. Her prophets were self-seeking liars. Her priests were defiled. Everyone did what seemed right in their own eyes. They were idol worshiping, fornicating, backstabbing, pleasure-seeking people who called themselves God's children because they showed up at temple services to pray and worship God. Like sheep without a shepherd, they were left open and vulnerable to attack. As a result, they were led astray into captivity. They were destitute and helpless. They were left in shock and dismay, completely disoriented. Like a daydream that turns into a nightmare, God's people were left reeling and stunned. They were down for the count. But then God showed up. But then God showed up. How many of you know that even when it doesn't feel like it, He's working? Even when we can't see it, He is still working. He will cause all things, say all things, to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Can you say amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." God has an unusual way of doing things. God has an unusual way of doing things. I want you to think about Abraham. Here was a man, or a baby that was born during a time when all of the other boy babies, male babies, were being killed. His mother heard from God very clearly. He was the one that was going to deliver the children of Israel from captivity. Moses. Apologize. Thank you. I jumped out of my notes here. Moses is who I'm talking about, not Abraham. I'll get to Abraham in a minute. Here he was. He was told that he was going to deliver the people, children of Israel, from captivity. He goes, he's hidden in a basket in a river. Then here comes the princess, and she draws him out. He goes and he lives in a palace and he becomes a prince of Egypt. And he thinks, this is my moment. And he steps out one day to try to bring justice his way, the way that he thought was appropriate. And instead, he winds up having to run for his life. And he hides out on the backside of a desert for 40 years. And God said, "You're the one that's going to deliver my people." That doesn't sound like a direct path. That doesn't sound like the simplest way to do things. And yet that's the way that God chose to do things. Now let's go to Abraham. God tells Abraham, "Get up from where you are, take your wife, take your family, and leave to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you there because I have called you to be a father of many nations. I've called you to be a father of many nations." Years and years go by. His wife is barren. She cannot have children. She's beyond the age, beyond the time of childbearing. And God shows up one day, 90 years old. 90 plus, and says, "I'm going to give you a child. And you are going to be the father of many nations. He said, look at the stars in the sky. Can you count them? You can't count them all. That's going to be your seed. He said, look at the sand of the sea. You see the sand of the sea, how vast it is? Can you count every single sand, kernel of sand? No, you can't. Every grain of sand? You cannot. That's how much your offspring is going to be. And he's scratching his head, and his wife is in the tent laughing. God doesn't do things the way that we think or the way that we plan. Look at Joseph. Here Joseph was, he was this child that God gave dreams to, granted dreams to. He had this tremendous ability and talent of organization and administration. He had these dreams and he heard very clearly and understood that God was saying that he was going to rule and that it, as a result, that there would be prosperity. And he tells his family that, and as a result, his brothers get mad, sell him down the road as a slave. He winds up in Egypt, gets lied about, gets thrown in prison, and stays there for years and years. Does that sound like the kind of story that backs up the kind of narrative that backs up what God had called for that person to do? We know the end of the story of each one of these, but I want you to see how there are things that people go through, crises that happen in people's life that don't match what we hear and the way that we think. God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are altogether different and separate from your ways. It's definitely not the way that I would have done it. I'm sure it's not the way that you would have done it. And yet it's the way that God chose to do it. The children of Israel, God promised them the promised land. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He gets to Jacob and he says, Jacob, this land that I promised your father Abraham, this land is your land. Your children and your descendants will live here. Then a famine comes and they all had to move to Egypt. And they wind up staying there for 400 years as slaves. 400 years as slaves. Does that sound like the right narrative for this story? The children of Israel, God's chosen people who were called to have the promised land, wind up 400 years in slavery? David, anointed as king of Israel. First of all, his dad didn't even recognize him, didn't even recognize him as one of his sons. Finally, the prophet says, don't you have any other sons? Here comes David out of the sheep field. He's anointed king of Israel. And then the prophet leaves, and David goes back, and he's taking care of the sheep again. He's like, wonder what that was all about. Wonder what that was all about. The anointing of God comes upon him. He kills Goliath. He's called to go and play his harp in the temple. I'm sorry, in the palace, because the king had these nightmares. And the harp would calm him down. Faithfully served the king. Did everything that the king told him to do. And then all of a sudden, one day, the king tries to kill him. Puts out a declaration that if David is found, he is to be caught and killed. David has to run for his life, lives in caves, lives with men that are all rejects, and winds up in the Philistine camp. You know, Goliath, he was a Philistine, right? That big guy that David had killed, and he killed thousands of Philistines. He winds up living with the Philistines for fear of his life from King Saul. Doesn't sound like it fits. That narrative does not sound like the right narrative. He's anointed king of Israel, and he's hiding out with the Philistines. Look at Jesus. Jesus, God incarnate, came to earth to dwell among us. Born in a manger, born into poverty, The king finds out about him and wants to kill him. His family has to flee, and where do they have to flee to? They have to flee back to Egypt. They live in Egypt for years. And then when they finally move back, they wind up in a little fishing village on the Galilee because his parents were afraid. Then all of a sudden he shows up on the scene and he begins to do miracles. He begins to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, open blinded eyes. He begins to speak the truth of the word of God and declare the kingdom of God. And the religious leaders have him crucified, brutally murdered on a cross. Does that sound like the right narrative? Jesus had come to save the world, and he winds up on a cross, crucified. Does that sound like the right narrative? God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God chooses to do things differently than what we would do. I haven't even begun to mention Gideon, Deborah, Mary, Esther, Ruth, Rahab, unlikely stories, unlikely individuals, checkered pasts, that God shows up in the middle of their story and says, I've called you. Me? How is that possible? You don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what has happened in my life. And God says, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. We get so caught up in the midst of the narrative that we forget the promise. We see all around us darkness, chaos, confusion. We see all of the things that are happening, and we become fearful, and we become worried, and we become concerned. And God is saying, have I left the throne? Am I not still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Am I not still the one who is the creator of all things? Am I not the one that you call your Father? Am I not in control of your life? Yes, I understand you don't get the narrative. I understand that you don't understand what I'm doing. But I do things differently. The stories of our lives are not what they seem to be. The chaos all around us is not what it seems to be. The fear tactics and manipulation and control are not what we think them to be. Things are not as they seem. This is all preparation for the grand finale. This is all a backdrop. This is all the setup for God to show up and to show off his glory, his power. Come on. I don't know about you, but I serve a God who turns mourning into dancing. I serve a God who turns sorrow into joy. I serve a God who makes beauty from ashes. I serve a God who turns dry bones into armies. I serve a God who turns oceans into highways. I serve a God who turns graves into gardens. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Give a shout of praise to the Lord. Come on. Lift up your voice, Zion. Praise your King. Hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4 through 6, prophet Ezekiel receives this word from God concerning the shepherds and the sheep. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all of the mountains and all of the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Where are God's leaders? Where are the shepherds? At its inception, the church was birthed and grew exponentially through great persecution. Great persecution. Throughout history, every time that we see the church persecuted, we see an explosion of growth that is the result of a great awakening within the hearts and minds of believers who were activated to live in faith. Over the last few centuries, the church in the Western Hemisphere has enjoyed a season of peace and prosperity. As a result, we have become lackadaisical, ineffective. We've lived in a daydream that has turned into a nightmare. The attacks all around us have taken many by surprise and have left many dazed and confused. Like sheep without a shepherd, the church is wandering about, uncertain of what is happening, unsure of the way forward. I want you to listen very carefully to these words. God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten you. You are not alone. The King is still on the throne. He will cause all things to work together for good for his people. He will cause the enemy to fall into his own traps. He is about to show up, and he is about to show off. The King is coming. The King is coming. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, come on, say it with me, but joy cometh in the morning. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 through 16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. Can you give the Lord glory for that? Come on. God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten about you. You may feel lost. You may feel dazed. You may feel confused. But a breakthrough is coming. A breakthrough is coming. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you have experienced loss, tremendous loss. Some heartache. Some of you have had major setbacks. Some are struggling with fear and anxiety and depression. Some have experienced verbal, emotional, mental, and physical abuse. For some, anger has turned to rage and has affected their ability to think or to see clearly. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. How could crisis be a good thing? How can chaos bring order? Yet we see that from the very beginning of time, God has been all about bringing order from chaos. If you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does the next part say? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, and God said, and God said, He takes chaos and He establishes order. He takes the things that are broken and He brings life. Except a seed fall to the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. From death to life, from chaos to order. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What's broken in your life? What is broken in your life right now? Where do you find yourself today? What has you shackled in chains? Do you find yourself dazed or stunned from the bombardment all around you? Are you dismayed, frustrated, confused, disheartened, angry, depressed? Do you feel overwhelmed by the never-ending cycle of headlines and reports of doom and gloom. Hatred seems to be all around us. Division seems to be all around us. Evil seems to be all around us. It feels like a bad dream. And we wonder if it will ever end. But I've got good news. It's almost over. The time has come to wake up. God is calling his people to wake up. It's time to awake from your slumber. The time has come to shake off the shackles of sin and shame. The time has come to arise from the dust of despair. The time has come to clothe yourself with righteousness. The time has come for the church to arise and to shine, for her light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Wake up! Wake up! Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in evil desires. And then Psalm 132, verse 3 through 5. This should be our mantra. I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the Mighty One of Israel. Where does the presence of the Lord dwell? With us, in us. Don't give sleep to your eyes until you have found the place to build the house of the Lord, until you have made a sanctuary for the Mighty One of Israel. As I'm closing this morning, on the day when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they dealt a devastating blow to the U.S. Navy, crippling its Pacific Fleet. Prior to that moment, while the rest of the world was at war, the United States seemed to be in a daydream, self-absorbed, reluctant to take sides. When the dust had settled that day, the Japanese admiral, I am not going to say it right, Isoroku Yamamoto, uttered the now famous words, "I fear we have only awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with terrible resolve." Oh, that the church of Jesus Christ would awake from her slumber. Oh, that she would arise and be clothed with the righteousness of God. Oh, that she would stand up and be the standard, driving back the forces of darkness with the light of the glory of the Almighty One. It is time for the church to wake up. It is time for us to stand up and be counted. It is time for us to lift our voice toward heaven with a shout of praise, for the King is coming. It is time for us to get ready. The night is coming to an end. A new day is dawning. No more fear, no more doubt, no more worry, no more confusion. Every lie of the enemy will be exposed. The traps that the enemy has set for you will lead to his own demise. The forces of darkness are being driven back as the church arises, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Can you lift up a shout of praise to the Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready? It is time for the church to... It is time for the church to... Come on. It is time for the church to wake up. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Wake up. Wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem. For unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming unto you. He is righteous and victorious." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this is what we're going to do. I don't want you to freak out, but I have invited some special guests here this morning. And we have some shofars in the house. Come on. We've got some shofars in the house. And we are going to blow the shofar. And each time that we blow that shofar, I want you to shout out with everything that is within you, "Wake up!" Can you do that? We're going to do this 7 times, and on the 7th time, after we have shouted out, "Wake up," I want you to lift up your voice, a mighty voice of praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Can we do that in the house this morning? All right. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? I see my shofars. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Come on, shout it out. Wake up! 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 Come on, give a shout to the Lord! Give a shout to the Lord! He is worthy! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the King is coming soon. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. If you are not ready to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I have good news for you. He is giving you an opportunity right here and right now in this place. If you're watching online, if you're in this house, and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to know that He has said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. God is here and He's offering you the opportunity to confess Him. The Bible says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. He is here in this place and He wants to give you the opportunity to be His child. He wants to give you the opportunity to become a part of His kingdom, because His kingdom is the kingdom that is going to win. His kingdom is the kingdom. It's already, I've read the back of the book and I'm here to tell you, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. So I want you to know right now, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to bow your head with me right now, and we're going to say a prayer. If you're watching online, make sure that you let us know that you're doing this. Would you just say, Dear Jesus, come on, say, Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. I repent of my sins before you. And I ask that you would make me your child. I commit my life fully to you. And I thank you that you have welcomed me into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. If you made that choice this morning for the first time, be sure, I do not want you to leave here today without stopping by. We have the prayer wall on this side. We have the information center outside. We want to partner with you. We want to partner with you and help you walk this new journey of a life in Christ Jesus, a life of victory, a life of peace, a life of joy in the Holy Spirit. So I want to thank you for taking that step, and be sure to let us partner with you. If you're watching online and you've done this, be sure to let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to lock arms with you and walk together to see us as the family of God, raising the standard and driving back the forces of darkness, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise today as we go from this place. Come on. Heavenly Father, I just pray over every single person that is here and everyone within the sound of my voice, that your hand would be upon us, that you would go before us, that you would help us to make the crooked path straight. Lord, may it be so that we would prepare the highway for the King's return. May it be so, O God, that we would walk in love, that when we leave this building, that we are not leaving your presence, but that your presence would go with us. May we not give sleep to our eyes until we have made our bodies, our being, a sanctuary for the Almighty. May it be so that we would carry your presence from this place and allow your light to shine forth in our communities, in our homes, in our places of business, in the work, at our schools. I thank you that your hand of protection is over us. I thank you that you are guiding us, that you are protecting us with your mighty right hand. Thank you, O God, that you have us in the palm of your hand, and no one can remove us and no one can touch us, because you are our defense. You are the one who cares for us. You're the good Father, the good Shepherd. May it be so, O God, that you would fill us with your Spirit and allow us to walk in peace and harmony and love, to be able to go and live and serve as you would, Lord, here on this earth. May we be your hands and your feet. And may we go where you send us. We thank you, O God, that we are your church, and you are our God, our King, and soon and very soon, you are returning for your church. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we thank you for all of these things. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we declare all of this. And may the people say, Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. We are so thankful for you being here. For those who are watching online, thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to remember that Monday morning from 7:30, beginning at 7:30, we have a time of prayer here in the sanctuary. And on Wednesday evenings at 6:45, we also have a special time of prayer and worship. And next Sunday, after our service, we are going to have a time of fellowship for the men, the women, and the students. So be sure to be here for that as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon.